Just going to read a few of the verses, beginning with verse 9. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Father, bless Your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I do not know whether we'll get down through verse 12, but we'll make an effort at it. If we don't hit it this week, we'll hit it next week. God has revealed His love. God has manifested, as it says here, God has manifested His love to us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. However, that is not the only way that God has manifested His love to us. God has manifested His love to this world in many, many ways. In several different ways, God has manifested His love to us. What God did in the beginning when He created the world of ours that we live in, we really see a manifestation, a visible manifestation of God's love to the world and to us. And everything God created, it was always punctuated with these words. Can anybody tell me what those words were of each day? At the end of the day, God did what? God said it was what? Good. God said it was good. Standing on the beaches of Florida, as I often have done in the past, having lived down there and visited down there, and that my wife is from Florida, but my parents went long before I met my wife. And so we used to go down there to Florida once in a while. I'm glad that they moved to Florida. That way I got my wife. See, if they had not moved to Florida, I might never have met my wife. But having my wife from Florida, having my folks been going down to Florida for about 25 years in the winter time, I have stood on the beaches of Florida many, many times. And looking out at the eastern skies, as the sun would rise in the eastern skies, for we would go over there for breakfast once in a while. Even on my wedding day, I was over to the beach for breakfast because a group of family and relatives of mine wanted to go to the beach for breakfast the day we were married, and so we went over there for breakfast. Of course, my wife wasn't there, but we were there as a family. And you watch the sun come up over the eastern skies, and you'd have to say, God is good. A manifestation of God's love to us. And so it is, we see that vast Atlantic Ocean, we see the sun rising. So it has been in the beaches of California. We've been out there a few times because I've had a daughter out there for 25, 30 years. I have a granddaughter in Sandy Ego, and we've been out there a few times, and we have stood on the beaches, and we have seen the sunset in the western skies over that vast Pacific Ocean. And you see the beauty of the skies, and as you see the beauty of that vast ocean, you must say this: God is good. It's a manifestation of God's love to us in His creation. The Finger Lakes are a wonderful area of the country, really, some of the nicest area of the country. As you look at these lakes and you see these hills around them, some people who visit us from flat places call them mountains, but we call them hills around us. You see the beauty of the lakes, you see the beauty of the hills, and you see God is good. As you travel out west, you see the mountains, you see the Sawtooth Mountains. You see other vast mountains out there that really make these things look like hills around us rather than mountains. And you see that wonderfulness of God, and you see the snow-capped mountains in Denver as you look out into the mountains, because they have about 50 peaks that are about 14,000 feet high, and they have snow upon them many times, even in the summertime. You say, God is good. It's a manifestation of God's love to us that we see in His creation alone. And then in the individuality of God's creation, the sun and its individuality, the moon, the stars. As you go out at nighttime and look up at the stars, I like to do that. Maybe you think I'm a little bit off, but I love to go out at night and look up at the stars. And you see, God is good. God has manifested His love toward us in His creation. You take all the vegetation, you take the animal world, you take the birds of the air, you take the fish of the sea. It is all good. And then the crown of God's creation, as far as His creation is concerned, of course, is man. And you see man and you consider man and you say, God is good. In all of His creation, God has manifest His love to us, or the love of God to us. And then we have these words, as we look in these words at verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And here we come to the greatest manifestation of God's love to us. He loved us and He sent His Son, the very sending alone of His Son, the very manifestation of His Son coming into this world is a manifestation of God's love to us. And you have three times within a few verses here about God sending His Son. You see it in verse 9, and this was manifest the love of God because that God sent His only begotten Son. You see it in verse 10, here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son. You see it in verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And there's an emphasis on God sending His Son into this world. And thus we have here the mission of God to the world. We talk about missionaries going into various countries to preach the gospel. Well, here we have the mission of heaven, the mission of God to a lost and dying world. And that mission of God was that He sent His Son into the world. The very fact that God sent His only begotten Son into the world exceeded any love that God had previously manifested toward us. That is deity, taking upon Himself humanity. God willing to step down to us. God humbling Himself to us in the sending of His Son to us. In this way, God would be revealing more and more His love for us. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. And through the life of Christ, and through His Son, and through His words, and through His works, through His very soul and spirit being manifest, we see more and more of God's love toward us. As you consider His Son and the life of Christ in this world of ours. But the love of God in Christ, taking upon Himself the form of a man, is exceeded by the man Christ Jesus becoming the propitiation for our sins. Not only God's mission of sending His Son into this world, but that it exceeded by what Jesus Christ did after He came into the world, when He became the propitiation for our sins. That is, He satisfied God in His sacrifice that our sins might be paid for, that the holiness and justice of God would be satisfied by the sacrifice of God the Son, that we might live through Him. The love of God is further amplified by these words when He says that we might live. And I think we ought to emphasize those words for a moment. That we might live, as it says here in verse 9, the end of the verse, that we might live through Him. That we might live through Him reveals really man's state, our state before God's Son became the expiation for our sins. It's telling us something, that we might live through Him, that we did not live before He came in to this world. It is telling us here that we were totally dead in regards to God. As the Scripture says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were not alive unto God. We were dead in our selfishness and the living unto ourselves in this world. As man lives unto himself in this world, he is dead before God. And we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And you hath He made alive, or quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses or sin. So you have made alive. God's great love provided a way that you would be made alive in regards to God. You who were dead, that you may be made alive in regards to God. And were it not for this, you would have had to suffer the wages of sin, which is eternal death, the lake of fire. Christ bare your sins in His body on the cross that you might live forever with God. And this was manifest the love of God, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live for Him. That we might live through Him is life in a sense, in its highest sense of the word. We become new creations of God, and thus being new creations of God, thus we have new life. It's the second creation of God after God making man and creating man in the first place who sinned against Him and died. And thus we have a new creation that is found in Christ Jesus, that we may be created anew and live forever with God. No true life of peace and joy and fellowship with God was possible for us until sin was put away, until Christ came into the world and died. Christ now lives in the believer and becomes His life in us. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And we also read in the book of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul is speaking about his ministry here, and he's speaking how he's in jeopardy of being killed by his enemies around him who did not like him because of his ministry. But he says concerning his life here, in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And then Paul says again in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5 and in verse 10. Who died for us, talking about Christ, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That we should live together with him. And that's why Paul says at the end of verse 9, in this is manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. We who were dead might live through him. And God's great love was further manifested to you, and not only were you dead in regards to God, but many scriptures reveal that you were actually the enemy of God. Not that we loved God, as our scripture said that we've read a couple of times already in 1 John. Not that we loved God. We did not love God. We were the enemies of God. And you will read this time and time and time again in the book of Romans, that we were at enmity toward God. A man is at enmity toward God when he takes his life, goes out into this world, and lives his life unto himself rather than unto God. Thus he becomes an enemy of God, because God, who made the world and God who created the world, is completely ignored by the world and by man, and God considers them his enemy because they will not acknowledge him, and they will not live for him, and they do not love him, and they will not worship him as they should worship God. Thus, they are the enemies of God. But while we were the enemies of God and at enmity with God, Christ died for us. Not that we loved God, the Bible says here, because we didn't. But God loved us. And God loved us first. Adam did not approach God after his sin. Do you see Adam trying to approach God? I mean, he had a Bible lesson with God every day. God would come down in the cool of the day, according to the scriptures. And Adam and God would fellowship together, and God would teach Adam. But after he sinned, he would not approach God. He was running away from God. God had to approach Adam and say, "Where are you, Adam?" There was no repentance on Adam's part. Adam did not seek any reconciliation with God once he sinned. His heart was estranged from God, and so is the heart of every lost sinner. They are estranged from God. God even said to Israel, "When I saw thee in thy blood, I said unto thee, live." That is in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16 and verse 6. And God is looking down and he sees nothing, absolutely nothing, of which to make a nation out of but blood. "And when I saw thee in thy blood, I said unto thee, live." God took that which was nothing and made a nation out of that which is nothing at all. And thus, and not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:10, "For if we were enemies, we were reconciled." We also see it in Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The very life of the world, as man lives unto himself, is an enmity against God. While we're still in this state, while we're still in this condition, Christ died for us. What greater love is there than a man would lay down his life for those who were his enemies in order to make them his friends, which he did. Yes, the love of God was manifest in Christ while we're yet enemies, that we might live. He made us alive unto himself, that we might live with him forever. And if God so loved us, it says here in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. It's a commission of God that we ought to love one another. Now he says in verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. Do not have time to amplify on that verse, and we'll pick up with that verse next week, but I want to say this about it. In this way, God is invisible. He might be seen through his people. And seeing that God is invisible, his abiding in us can only be seen as we display his character of love toward others, and particularly toward the brethren. In this way, the invisible God is manifest to us because God is a spirit and you cannot see God. I'll amplify on that next time we minister. But the fact is that the invisible God can be known through his love, and the invisible God can be known through to other people in the world through his love in you. As you go out and manifest the love of God toward them, as you seek their salvation, as you're willing to give and to go and to pray for them, then they see the love of God in you. And thus it is with missionaries that go to all of these heathen fields and minister the love of God to them and the word of God to them. They see these foreigners willing to give up their life and even sacrifice their life, as many have done in the past, to reach out a heathen people for Jesus Christ. And thus the invisible God, the love of God, is seen in them. And many of them have come to Christ. Many of them have believed in Christ because they saw a people who had a love of God in them, willing to sacrifice themselves for them, that they too might have life. Beloved, let us love one another. Let us manifest the love of God to a lost and dying world. Even if they're at enmity with God, even if they're at sometimes enmity with us, let us not respond in the same. Let us manifest the love of God, that they might come to know God and believe in God and experience the love of God in their lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May your word be instilled within our minds and our hearts. We think of the song we sing, O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary self in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in its ocean depths, its flow might richer, fuller be. Can we sing that song with truth? O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary self in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in its ocean depths, its flow might richer, fuller be. And how true that is when we give him back the life we owe, to know the depths of